I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome to The Memo. It is Thursday, July 21st. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke today. How are you doing, Brad?
Good. You doing better, I see.
Doing well.
Coming to you from our sweat box.
Perpetually, apparently.
Well, apparently we lost a compressor or something in the AC unit. So, Daily Journal maintenance crew is vigilantly, there's the word, working to
adamantly.
Fix it.
Adamantly.
Anyway, they're working hard to fix it. So
I'm going
to
lose a lot more than a compressor if I sit through this much longer, I'll tell you that much.
Maybe
right
we'll,
now.
I mean, you know, it's almost like I said the other day, it feels kind of like a sauna in here. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can sweat off some weight.
Get ready for the season.
I had to bring ice water in just to.
That's probably not helping. I'm drinking hot coffee. That probably not is helping things.
You're just making matters worse.
Yeah. So, anywho.
At least it's cool outside, so you can step outside a little bit.
Right.
Well, compared to in here, it is, actually.
Yeah, actually. Let you mention it. So, what's happening? I got nothing.
It's Thursday.
I got family
in town.
What
do we do on Thursdays? You got family in town.
Well, my wife, sister, and her husband and their four kids.
So they helping do the exorcisms in your home?
I actually hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
All the
haven't seen anything lately like that.
They've seen you.
I bet they have.
They've been watching. Is your ceiling fixed?
Not yet. Still waiting on somebody to come do that. It'd be nice.
Speaking of hot, I'm sure that's a good little source of heat walking through that entryway.
Well, yeah, we don't use that door anyway, so we just close off the foyer.
I wouldn't either with that thing sitting outside. I'd steer clear of that door at all costs if I were you, too. Whatever that thing is watching you.
Yeah, so anyway, so now we've got, let me do the math, 13 people in our house. But
breaking it in.
So basically just two more than normal?
Couldn't, because they have four kids, including a two-year-old and a four-year-old.
Where's everybody sleeping, Brad?
So, oh, their two sons are bunking up with Drew, and then my sister-in-law and her husband have the girls in the spare room. So it's all good. We could not have done this in the old house.
Got some Brady Bunch style stacking going on.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Breakfast was fun this morning.
Somebody in Mike Brady's office, somebody in the attic.
Yeah.
Alice in her little room off the kitchen. Yes, I remember the layout of that house all too well.
It's pretty good.
I'm watching it way too often.
I never knew where Alice's room was, I guess.
It's off the kitchen.
Obviously. Okay.
Just watch it. It's there.
Okay.
There's a couple episodes where they go in there, and it was like
what?
A little treat. It's like,
wow.
We get to see how Alice lives now.
Now, I remember where Jeffrey's room was in Fresh Prince. They filmed a few scenes in there.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Just, I don't know why it made me think of that. I guess.
I don't either. I don't know what brought you to that.
Let's
decision.
Talk about The Help on sitcoms from the past.
Okay. Okay.
See,
I'm following you.
The Butler. Okay.
Yeah, I got you now.
I'm so glad Fresh Prince is in syndication. I came out.
Well,
when
I'm so glad you're happy about that.
I really just flipping through the channel. Sometimes I'll just catch an episode and just you know. You it came out when I was a freshman in high school. I think it was the first season, which makes me feel really old.
I was probably in fifth grade. So let's see how that makes you feel.
Well, it makes Will Smith feel even older.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised.
On the playground is where I spent most of my days. Most of my kids can sing that song verbatim.
Like, yeah, I think everybody who was alive in that area can
but
sing
they weren't alive,
song
though.
Verbatim.
They still can.
Trinity was born in 02, and she can sing that song because we watch reruns.
1990.
Yeah.
I was five.
Freshman year of high school.
I was five when that show came on.
Good for you.
So there you go.
You don't make them like that anymore.
Did they not?
Whatever happened to the actor that played Jeffrey? That's the only thing I've ever seen him in, was that.
I don't know.
I can't even remember his name now, which is sad because you'd think I'd remember that.
Joseph Marcel.
That's probably it.
He's still alive.
Good for him. So,
I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah. Well, I guess Will Smith and, to a lesser extent, Alfonso Ribeiro about the only two that are like still in the spotlight from that show. I think the girl that played the youngest daughter ended up taking a less.
Didn't Uncle Phil die?
He did die a couple of years ago. I don't know about the two Vivians.
TJ Jazzy,
Jeff is still doing his music thing, last I saw.
Yes, he died from open heart surgery.
Yeesh. Well,
not DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Uncle Phil.
Yes.
Phillip Banks.
All anyway. Right, Brad, tell them what we're in store for today.
Let me see. What do we have
in you waxing
store today?
Poetic about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I love that show. We got Emma Kent talking about a new approach by Corinth Schools. Their school calendar is changing. It's interesting.
Year-round school.
I guess so, isn't it? Yeah. We're going to take periodic breaks of like 3 weeks. Lauren Wood going to join us to talk about her In Focus from earlier in the week. Scott Morris going to tell us about Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
He reviewed it today. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you'll tell us about what's going on this weekend, including Down on Main tonight.
Down on Main is tonight at 6 p.m. Talk more about that in a little while.
All right. Let's go, man.
I want to remind you that today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
Okay, now we can go and do the show.
Yeah.
My bad. Jump the gun there.
You tend to.
Yeah. Well, let's welcome in education reporter Emma Kent again, who hosted yesterday. And now she's back as a guest.
I'm back.
How you doing?
Pretty good, I guess.
Great.
Yeah. How are you, Brad?
Swell. I'm swell. Thanks for asking. Anyway, let's talk about this thing up in Corinth, this modified school calendar. Seems kind of like a cool idea. I guess you could say it's kind of basically year-round school. Mm-hmm. Maybe?
Yeah. Kind of.
Explain a little bit about what the calendar looks like now.
So
or will look like.
It's basically the students will go for quarters of the year, and then they'll have 3 week breaks between the quarters. So they'll start back August 1st, which is pretty similar to most school districts. And then they'll have a 3 week break in October. They'll have a normal Christmas break. They'll have a 3 week break in the spring. And then their final exams will be like mid-June, and then they'll have another break until they start back August 1st.
So a month and a half summer break.
Yeah, so it's a shorter summer, but it's still a break. So
still enough time to go on vacation.
Yeah. Exactly.
So why did they do this? I know that it was part of this Districts of Innovation thing due to some legislation allowed school districts to kind of use some innovative methods, maybe outside the normal regulations. And this would obviously be something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think nobody in the area has done this.
Yeah, that's true. The main reason that they wanted to do this was they think it's going to help students. They think that basically, you know, schools do remediation when you have students who are behind. Normally they come in the summertime and get remediated. However far behind they are from the previous year. But I mean, if you think about it, if a kid starts falling behind in September, but you don't give him remediation until, you know, June or July, they might be really far behind. So their kind of thought process was, well, if we can remediate them after each quarter, it might prevent them from falling so far behind and help them more. So they're going to be doing a lot of remediation in those breaks.
And I would think it would help with just retention of learning, too, because you have a 2.5-3 month summer break and you come back in August and it's a lot of stuff you've probably forgotten. Stuff,
yeah.
And there's a lot of review that takes up precious classroom time.
Yeah. That's probably true, too. Yeah. And then they're also, you know, they're optional, but enrichment opportunities so kids can come in. You know, kind of like during the summer, lots of schools will do like a summer enrichment kind of thing, but they're going to do that during those breaks. So they'll have the option to come in and still be doing something.
And Northeast Mississippi Community College is partnering with them to do some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for the high school students. They already have dual enrollment classes at Corinth High School, which is, you know, where they get college credit for the classes they take. But they'll be offering some additional classes and additional opportunities during those 3 week breaks for those kids to earn more credits. So, I mean, they could earn a lot of college credit before they ever leave their high school, which is kind of neat. So,
yeah, this is, I guess they're kind of going to be the guinea pigs for this. I mean, I remember going back to when I was in high school, and I'm sure there was a conversation before people would talk about year round school. Mm-hmm. And I know some probably out west or up north that's been done for a long time. I don't know how well it works. I guess we'll find out how well it works here. I'm curious as to how many people will like it. I know a lot of the kids are probably like rolling their eyes, but really, you get those 3 week breaks like that.
I know. I think it sounds kind of nice.
Yeah, I think so too. Because the school year can become a slog if you just, you know, you're going weeks at a time without a break.
Yeah, and you get really burnt. And my husband is a teacher, and I was talking to him about it last night, and he was like, that sounds so great, because it would be nice to have those breaks in between to kind of regroup for the next thing that you're going to teach. I mean, teachers get really tired. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, it's one of those things where it's been this way for so long. Mm-hmm. You wonder how people will respond to it. Cause a lot of people don't like change, especially in Mississippi.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out. I'm sure, like with anything, you're going to have people who are excited and people who are resistant, but, we'll see what happens.
Hey, I mean, with the way where we're at in education in Mississippi, ranking near the bottom, and we got to try something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this might help. So good story by Emma. You can find it in today's journal and at djournal.com. Find Emma on Twitter at emcrawfordkent. Emma, thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Be sure to look for the Two Sports Podcast that we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and MSU fans, check out the Double Coverage Podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. You can listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. No program this week, though. Guys taking a little bit of time off, so look for Double Coverage either next week or the next. I'm not sure. It'll be back before too long. All right.
Approximately.
Football is soon upon us.
Sure is.
Has descended. The podcasts are just another example of the multimedia content we have online at djournal.com, where the website is now free from the first click to the last. That's right. You don't have to pay to read the stories we talk about here on the memo. So go online, djournal.com. Stay a while. Stay informed about the communities that we serve.
All right. That less masculine voice you heard a moment ago was Lauren Wood.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. The mystery voice. I haven't been introduced yet.
Oops. Wait a minute.
Lauren Wood, a photographer.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Good to hang
better.
Out?
Better. No.
You feel better? You were sick
better.
Too?
This whole week I've just been out of it. I've been like MIA, like texting people back and on like social media. So I apologize to everybody because I've just been
You're supposed to be on the show yesterday, but you were.
Yeah, I was supposed to be on the show all week.
Working and, while sick.
Yep. Yeah.
Toughen it out. Well, let's talk about your In Focus photo essay on Monday. Mm-hmm. Vance the Barber.
Vance the Barber.
As he's known. Vance Buchanan, his real name.
Yeah.
Really cool. Looks like he's really good at what he does. Mm-hmm. Got some really cool stuff there going on. Where is he located?
He's a barber at the Hands on Touch Salon, which is located right behind McDonald's on President Street, like off of Gloucester right there.
Right.
And I found him actually on social media. I was looking through the Tupelo hashtag and found some of pictures of his work on his Instagram account and was like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. And he's doing it here in Tupelo. So I want to go talk to him about it.
Yeah, and he's got a pretty good following on Instagram, doesn't he?
Yeah, a couple thousand people. And it's been growing. It's really cool. Like, he's so excited about, kind of staying on top of the trends and doing the doing the best he can. And, like, he's really into education. And he's actually at a convention or, like, expo thing right now, like, in New Jersey, learning and meeting other barbers and people in the industry and seeing what he can bring back here.
Wow. Yeah, so. It seems like he really makes a huge effort to improve himself, even though he's already really good. I mean, he's only been doing it for, like, 11 years.
Yeah, he said professionally for 11 years, but he, like, grew up around it. Like, his mom, he said, had a hair salon and kind of was in and out of there. And
I got you.
He's like, I thought I was, he kind of went off to try and do other things, but got drawn back to working with people.
Yeah, yeah.
Being a barber, so.
Okay. You just look at some of his, it's like artwork.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know. And it's so, that's what was really neat. Watching him in his process, because he's very like precise and you have to be when you're cutting these designs into people's hair, you don't want to like, oh, oops. oops, you know.
And yeah, you can't go back and cover it up.
Yeah, you can't do that. So I thought it was really cool getting to see him in action because he's very detail-oriented and precise.
He is.
So.
He is. And he takes pictures of his clients when he's done and posts those on social media.
Yeah. And yeah, one of his clients, I don't know if I put this in the story or not, but I thought it was neat. He's like, oh, I want to be up in the art gallery, you know, and get my picture taken and be hung up in the art gallery, which, you know, he's referring to social media, but I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of barbers, a bunch of barber shops and salons in this area.
A group of barbers is called a...
I don't know.
I just thought you guys were kind of funny. A flamboyance with that.
A gaggle of barbers. This is a whole other story that I've thought about in the past that someone could do is barber shops are kind of dying off a little bit. You've got these places like Sport Clips, and I know there's a couple. I go to just an old-fashioned barber shop, and it's one guy. It used to be two, but he lost his partner like over a year ago, hasn't been able to find anybody. There's been one or two other barbers that have retired or just quit the business. So. Really? I don't know, but people still going to have to get their hair cut. It's you know, and this guy obviously knows what he's doing. I think you have to have a real passion too to cut hair, because I imagine it can at times get kind of mundane. But if you're making art, maybe not.
Yeah, well, he said it's like really creative for him to be able to kind of have an outlet for that, like for creativity and everything. Oh, yeah. So, and I know he went to we've actually done a story on this, the Foster's cosmetology and barber school in Ripley. That's where he went and got his certificate and everything, and learned all of his skills. So
how can people find him on Instagram?
His Instagram handle is at Vance the Barber.
Okay,
you can find him on Instagram.
Cool.
So a lot of his work, it's really cool. You guys should check it out.
All right. Well, you can find Lauren's photo gallery in Monday's Journal, or it's on djournal.com as well. I got several photos there.
Photo gallery up. So there you check it out.
Good deal. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Shortly after announcing its 7-year plan, Blue Mountain College is nearing its enrollment goal for the upcoming school year. Blue Mountain College President Barbara McMillan and Director of Development Jody Hill hosted an event Tuesday night at Hope Church in Tupelo to talk about the plan's progress. Right now, the college is focusing on meeting its enrollment goal of 565 students for the upcoming school year. McMillan said its expected enrollment for the fall is about 530. Grow BMC is an initiative aimed at increasing the college's enrollment and revenue and creating a sustainable model that can be used in the future. It involves adding athletic teams, extracurricular activities, and facilities.
The Houston Solar Car Team is currently seeking its 15th National Solar Car Challenge victory. The team from Chickasaw County is racing against 21 other solar car teams from around the country. They left Fort Worth, Texas on Sunday and are headed north toward Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Houston Solar Car Program started in 2000 and has won 14 straight races in America. Solar Car Challenge was established in 1993 to help motivate students in science and engineering and to increase alternative energy awareness.
Leggett & Platt is expanding operations in Tupelo by investing $967,000 and creating 25 new jobs. The Carthage, Missouri-based company employs more than 600 people in the area. In addition to a number of Tupelo facilities, it has operations in Houston and Saltillo. The company manufactures products for a diverse group of industries, including furniture. The LNG expansion is tied to its new venture in which it will manufacture and distribute products for the mattress industry.
A new traffic light on South Gloucester Street should be installed by the end of this week and ready to go operational by the end of next. The new set of signals is near the intersection of Carnation and South Gloucester Streets at the entrance of a Walmart neighborhood market. The light will allow protected turns from Gloucester into lots for the Walmart and Imaging Center properties. It will also allow protected turns back onto Gloucester. Signal lights should begin operation on August 3rd when Walmart is set to open. Another new traffic light is still in the works for North Gloucester Street, where a Volkswagen dealership will open.
Double Barrel Steakhouse is opening a location in Tupelo. Owners John and Karen Wooten are renovating the former JR's on North Gloucester Street and should have the restaurant open by October. They also will cater from the location. Double Barrel will remain open in Shannon. The Tupelo location will serve food cafeteria style with several meats and vegetables. The Wootons don't plan to serve dinner in Tupelo. For now, only lunch will be served Monday through Friday. They also might open for lunch on Saturdays.
I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant serving fine dining in a casual atmosphere on North Gloucester Street. Lots of things going on at South always. It's home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar on Saturdays, and you can check out the happy hour specials each weeknight, and trivia begins at 7 p.m. every Wednesday. The winner gets a $50 gift card. So try out South in the former Shoney's building on North Gloucester Street. Scott Morris joining us now on the memo to discuss the film he saw this week and his review for Ghostbusters. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
Doing Derek? Well. Happy to have you here on this fine Thursday. I apologize for the heat in the room.
It is a little bit warm.
I would apologize, but I have nothing to do with it, so you have my condolences. You must suffer with the rest of us.
You know, you may be what's keeping this podcast from being great, comments like
it's
that.
It's me?
No, it might be you.
It's Rumble.
You saw this too, right? You
I
saw
don't know it. If I take offense or if I'm a little honored right now. I don't know, honestly.
Depends on what greatness actually turns out to be.
Ghostbusters. I did see Ghostbusters, as a matter of fact. I did.
So let's start with the controversy. The controversy.
Back 2 years for how controversial this has been.
Yeah, they announced they were going to make a reboot with females in the lead. And I thought that was going to be kind of interesting. I thought, well, I wonder what they're going to do with it. But apparently other people thought, oh, you're ruining a sacred treasure from my childhood. And so
their childhood's fine. They're still living at home probably anyway. All their childhood is surrounded by them.
And the original Ghostbusters is still available. I mean, you can get DVDs.
No, they burned them all. Did you not hear this one came out? They destroyed all copies. So
this was a beautiful, loving reboot. It's not a sequel. It pretends like ghosts have never attacked New York City before. But it doesn't. It pretends like that. The plot, it pretends that way. But as far as the filmmakers are concerned, they know that something came before. And you might have studied up on all of this stuff and who was going to be in the movie and who was not before you saw it. I didn't. I steered clear of this. And so every little cameo that popped up, my wife and I were going, ooh, ooh. Mm-hmm. And we were just enjoying ourselves. And there's a moment early in the film, I love this word. It was comedic reverence is what it was. It was a brief moment at Kristen Wiig's office there early in the film. Mm-hmm. When you see something, it's like I kind of knew, hey, this might be a really good movie because they have this spirit about it, a spirit, Ghostbuster spirit. Mm-hmm. Come on, Kiefer, give me a thumbs up. There you go. So, you know, this time Kristen Wiig, she wants to put her paranormal ghost chasing days behind her, but a book pops up at a very bad time. She goes to confront her her co-writer and ends up getting worse, but they end up fighting ghosts. Mm-hmm. And it's a stupid little movie, and it's a fun little movie. And I will say that Kate McKinnon as Holtzman, every time she's on the screen, you have no idea what she's going to do. And it's not really loud and in your face. It's very, like, weird and subtle, but just entertaining as all get out. So I really enjoy Kate McKinnon.
I found myself in repeat viewing of the film just watching her. If there's multiple people on screen still just being drawn to whatever she's doing in the background, whatever facial reaction she's making.
But it's a weirdness based in character, you know? It's not just being weird to be weird.
Right.
It's like you can, like, okay, she reminds me like Brad Locke, you know? Reminds me of Brad Locke and his kind of weird ways, you know? We've just come to accept them, and you forget how odd he is to other people.
Yeah. And then somebody comes in, and you're like, my God, hide him away. We don't want anybody to see him. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
We're so sorry to inflict him on you. But, you know,
he's what's keeping making this podcast.
The podcast being great. I don't know.
Let's go. Let's go.
We have to go across the street so HR doesn't get involved. Can't do it on the premises. It's too high.
Go outside.
Cool down.
Cooler, yeah. Well, this is fun. Hey, I give it an A. I was entertained. And you know what? I was entertained from start to finish. The very first ghost was scary. After that, it was all funny. My wife said there's another ghost later on that was scary. I thought, well, they're not going to kill anybody now.
Yeah.
And so it was all funny, but it was creepy to begin with. I don't know if you were creeped out at that first bit.
More than anything, that first scene in the mansion matches the tone. Yeah. Of the original. It had that spookiness, and yeah, it was kind of, I jumped once or twice.
And some of our favorites are actual human beings, actors and actresses, and some of our favorites are characters from the original that pop up, mm-hmm. and with new CGI, so they look different, and the protoplasm is a little bit more substantial. So I guess the unsubstantial ghosts are more substantial this time around.
The first screening I went to was sold out. And the two cameos that are not humans, I guess I would say, got as much of reaction/applause as the other five living cameos did.
The only one that my son applauded for was for one of those. But I feel like I want to keep it a secret because for me, I wasn't expecting it. And so it
no
was
spoilers,
happy.
Please.
Huh?
No spoilers, please.
I will take you out back and I will teach you a lesson.
Go outside where it's cool.
It's the heat. We've all got a sheen of sweat. It's just uncomfortable. You know, it's the tension here because you got Maggie over here, the intern, just kind of cleaning her Glock the whole time we're talking. Y'all can't see this because it's a podcast and it's kind of like it's tense in here, guys.
First wrong move, guys.
Everybody's drawn under the table right now. Mexican style.
I'm tired of these snakes in this plane. That's different. Sorry, that's different.
Like you said, you gave it an A. I had my qualms were not in story as much as it was. There was some editing choices that I did not understand that made me tilt my head. But I think story wise and character wise, I was very pleased with it overall.
Well, you know, and beyond story and character, which I agree with you, just little gems of comedy throughout, just laugh out loud moments mm-hmm. throughout from start to finish, and even. We sat there because we figured there's going to be something. We were the only ones who stayed, my family, through the credits. We figured there'd be something popping up, which there was. But also during the credits, there was a scene that they did apparently and decided to cut from the movie. And I understand why they did cut it, but it was funny because we're sitting there being entertained while the credits were rolling, while we wait to be entertained after the credits were done.
It never goes white word scrolling over black screen. There's something all the way through the credits up until the scene, the after scene at the end. So.
I feel like we need like a female here to say something about Chris Hemsworth's capacities.
I really appreciate it. It goes back to the controversy. It was four women. There was never any, I'm never going to get married or anything. There was never any of those typical jokes you get out of women comedies. I mean,
the Bechdel test.
There was never cleavage sticking out or anything like that. Like it was just really well done. But then you did actually get the dumb blonde trope that they usually stick a female with, unfortunately, these movies, and it's Chris Hemsworth, who was an idiot in the film, but just one of the best characters also as well.
And again, how hard was that to go the wrong way, because the idiocy, the stupidity was funny every time and not belabored. I mean, you know, it's like that could have been very stupid, because it was. It was like that became like the Naked Gun part of the movie.
Yeah.
It seemed to work, you know. Also, I didn't mention Leslie Jones or Melissa McCarthy. Melissa McCarthy has an ability to get on my nerves, but she also is also very entertaining. And in this, she's very entertaining without getting on my nerves. I mean, she fits in her role. And I thought Leslie Jones fit Nat. They make a good team, all four of them.
As much as I loved McKinnon's character in Holtzman, really, I think Leslie Jones's Patty was probably one of the best, well-rounded, because her character development, backstory, just that opening scene where you meet her and she's trying to talk to people in her subway job and everybody's snubbing her. Like, I thought they just did a really good job with her. After I'm done with Brad outside, you and I. We're going to go over this because
Holtzman is the character. I don't care what you have to say.
I do love Holtzman.
I agree with you, though. Yeah. And I also thought, you know, she was a natural benefit to the team because she knew so much history of the city. And so it, I mean,
she was far more grounded than the other three.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But Holtzman's the one who created all
the tech,
all the tech, yeah, the technology and the trying out in the alley was always fun. Those were fun scenes.
But they wouldn't have the Ecto if it wasn't for Patty, for Leslie. So
Chris is now taking Maggie's gun and has said that if you don't wrap this up, I'm just going to edit it all. We'll try again next week. So it's been a pleasure talking with you ruffians this morning.
All right, let's go. Let's rumble. Let's go do it. All right, Scott, thanks for coming in.
Bye.
All right, well, we got the weekend coming up, Derek. So what's happening in the area?
I think your big thing you want to look forward to is tonight, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Down on Main, the first of the series of Fair Park concerts that we have each summer, is going to kick off at 6 p.m. It's a free concert. Got an opening act, Daphne and the Mystery Machines, one of my favorite local band names. They come to Blue Canoe a lot, so I enjoy that band name. The headliner is Town Mountain. It's a great bluegrass band, so they'll be taking the stage a little bit later on. You can call 841-6598 for more information on that. Again, it's free.
Yep.
Bring your lawn chair and enjoy.
And your water.
Yeah. Hot. Stay hydrated, folks. Yes. Let's not have any problems.
Speaking of Blue Canoe, uh-huh. I just saw this Saturday. A Mardi Gras Indian funk band.
Chawa.
I didn't know that was a genre of music.
Well, they set the precedent. They set the bar on that one. So you'll check them out at Blue Canoe Saturday at 9:30. For the kids tomorrow on Saturday night, not tomorrow night, Saturday night, the second C Spire summer movie installment at Ballard Park is going to be Marvel's The Avengers going on.
Oh, cool.
So that is also free, 6 p.m. Kids inflatables and stuff starts then. Movie starts sometime after dark. So
okay.
That should be a good time as well.
And then Friday night, this caught my eye because I've seen this guy before. Jamie Davis is having, I guess, a album release show
mm-hmm.
of sorts at Steel's Dive on Friday. I saw him about 3 years ago. It was just him and a guitar at the old Romy's downtown where the Anthony's Pizza is going in now. I really enjoyed him.
That's going to be happening. His new album was produced by Mac McAnally.
Yeah, that's
somebody whose name, is no stranger to the area. So that is 9 p.m. Friday night at Steel's Dive, an album release party for Jamie Davis and Soul Gravy.
Cool.
Going on. And as Scott said, you can check out Ghostbusters that's shown at the Malco.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend. So lots going on in the area.
Yeah. And you've got a good roundup of what to look for on the art scene for the coming 2016-17 season.
Yep. Stuff getting started here as summer winds down. School starting back up. We'll look ahead at activities, stuff from Tupelo Community Theater, the North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra, Tupelo Ballet, and several other arts organizations in the area. So be sure to keep an eye out. As we get closer on those, of course, we'll have main stories on the front for
sure.
Individual events. So,
all right. There you go. Find it all in today's scene section or online at djournal.com.
Indeed.
All right, buddy. That's it.
All right, buddy.
We're done, pal.
Buccarino.
Old chum.
Friend.
I've run out of
amigo.
Old-time names for friend, old-time synonyms. Chum, pal, buddy, friend.
Brother.
Compadre. Brother. I don't know.
Let's not go that far.
Let's not. We'll go outside and fight with all of you. Tell them where they can find us, Brad.
You can find us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. You can listen to us in a variety of ways for free in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at memo.djournal.com. And again, coming to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So tell a friend, please. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Derek's on Twitter at W. Derek Russell.
That is correct.
Chris Kiefer's on Twitter at Chris Kiefer.
You got it.
There you go. Once again, we remind you that today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Try their cheap date night every Tuesday, and the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. So you get salads, sides, dessert, and beer or wine. All for just $25 at South.
There you go.
I was at South a couple weeks ago.
Were you?
It was so good. The catfish.
The catfish.
It was good.
There you go. You're drooling, sir.
It's the first time I had catfish in forever.
There you go. South's got catfish.
Sure do.
I tried there. I was there 3 weeks ago, maybe. Chris wouldn't like them. They have New Orleans nachos.
Mm.
Nolans nachos.
Interesting.
Sounds good. if they're actually New Orleans.
Yeah, though. But so you're picky. So
I'm okay if it actually is New Orleans. I have a problem when you call it New Orleans nachos, and it's just chips and cheese.
Yeah.
If you're going to use the name, use it right.
You gotta
back it up.
He calls himself a purist. I say it's ticky, but like,
yeah, whatever.
Back again on Monday.
Yep.
Crime reports.
We'll have crime reports and other fun stuff to talk about.
Start saving them up now.
I'll do that.
All right. See you on Monday.
Later.